Well, Rod's responsive call this morning of He is risen is a good introduction to the passage of Scripture that we're looking at today. If you remember from last week, we were looking at a passage of Scripture leading up as Jesus was walking towards the cross. And they called for Simon to carry the cross for Jesus. Today, we are picking up with Jesus. It's 3 days after his death, and so he is now risen. Hallelujah. And so we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scripture the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the Scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that you have given them to us in such a way that we are able to have access to them. That through the power of your Holy Spirit, that they come alive in our lives. That you have equipped us with the ability to know and understand what they say. We pray this morning that you would help us to come to even deeper understanding of what the Scriptures say and what they reveal about you. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So as I said, this is post-resurrection. Jesus is alive, and Jesus has already begun appearing to his disciples We've seen the women, he appears to the women, and his disciples go and they find the tomb empty. And, you know, there's all of this buzz circulating. Because after Jesus' death, we know that the disciples, they gathered together, and they're filled with this mixture of emotions. Because here was this man that they were thought was going to be their Savior, who was going to somehow create change, leading them away from Roman occupation, leading them into a greater understanding of who God was, who would be their Savior. And then he died. This man that they had placed all of their faith in, that they had sacrificed much to follow, died. And so we have these disciples, and they're gathered together, and they're wondering, they're asking questions like, was it worth it? Was it worth everything that we gave up? Is it worth it to continue to follow after him? Because if we continue to follow after him, we will most likely die as well. And all of this for a man that we watch die? Sure, he did great things and he taught really well. He healed people. He fed people. There was miraculous things that happened. But is it all over now? Were we somehow misled? And so this is the climate that Jesus enters back into the world 3 days later. His closest followers are kind of thrown into this emotional, spiritual chaos. And on the road to Emmaus, Jesus finds two of his disciples walking. One of them is identified as Cleopas. And we learn from the Gospel of John that Cleopas is Jesus' uncle. So this is the brother of Joseph. So somebody who, you know, probably should have known who Jesus was would have been easily to recognize. And the other person, most believe it was Joseph's wife, Mary, which is, or not Joseph's wife, was Cleopas's wife, Mary. So interesting, you know, Joseph and Cleopas both married Marys. So we have Uncle Cleopas and Aunt Mary. And Jesus meets them on the road. They don't recognize him. And Jesus says, hey, what's going on? What's all the commotion? Why do you guys seem so upset? I find humor in this line of questioning of Jesus. Because essentially Jesus, he's playing dumb. I mean, he knows exactly what's going on. But he's trying to, you know, elicit this response for them. And he gets this, you know, this depressed, biting, sarcastic response from Cleopas. He's like, are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on? Like, seriously, where have you been? I sometimes feel like that. I'm not always paying attention to the world around me. I'm sometimes the last person to find out things. Maybe you've felt that way before. And I'm fine, I ask, well, what's going on? And sometimes I get responses a lot like Cleopas's. But then Jesus presses further, you know, what things? And so Cleopas, he responds, and he gives this response that reveals just how confused, depressed, disillusioned, this shrinking faith and his anger. Really, Cleopas is showing his doubt, the same doubt that many of the other disciples are feeling. Have you been there? Have you felt like that? Have you felt like Cleopas and the other disciples? Have you arrived at moments in your life where Jesus wasn't quite who you thought he was? Where maybe the things that you thought were supposed to happen haven't happened? Where the person that you've been praying for healing for hasn't been healed yet? Or you're still struggling to make ends meet? Or that person that you've been praying for years still doesn't know who Christ is? And you're wondering what in the world Jesus is doing, because he's not doing things your way. And so it's confusing. A little bit depressing, that maybe you become disillusioned because this Jesus that you thought that he was isn't who he actually is. And the seemingly lack of response or the lack of action maybe causes your faith to diminish a little bit. And quite honestly, it leads us at times into these negative emotions. Anger. Because God isn't doing what we want him to do. And it's frustrating. Is there even a God? And we look around and we question. And we find ourselves in similar places as Cleopas. And a lot of times those negative emotions become so strong because they come on the heels of such powerfully good emotions. Where we've had those spiritual highs. And we felt like Jesus was moving and working in our lives. Where we've seen things happening. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in the valley and we're looking back up and we're thinking, I'm never going to make it back to that mountaintop. Have you been there? And Jesus, as he's walking with them, he gives, this rebuke or this, come on, guys. Like, how many times do we have to go over this? How many times do my people have to be reminded? And Jesus says, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And so, it's a question. It's a direct question. Jesus is saying, haven't you read the scriptures? The scriptures are pretty clear that all of these things were going to happen. And if you believe those things, do you believe what scripture says is going to happen next? Don't you know? Don't you know that that Jesus is alive, that the Christ is alive, that Scripture has proclaimed since the garden that the Messiah would have to suffer and die, but then on the third day be raised again? And so as Jesus gives this correction or this rebuke, He takes them through this journey through Scripture, revealing how every point along the way, it pointed to Jesus. Can you imagine? I mean, like, that's a Bible study of Bible studies. I mean, that's kind of like the dream. We have, the incarnate Word of God explaining the written Word of God to his people. I mean, that's pretty cool stuff. And we're not told exactly what Jesus said. We know that the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus was about 7 or 8 miles. I mean, that's a long walk, but it doesn't seem quite long enough to go through the entirety of the Scriptures, all of the Old Testament. And so, we get the idea that Jesus, he's highlighting, specific things. And because of who we know, Jesus, he's God. And this is his aunt and uncle. And so he's probably highlighting things that he knows are going to strike, special places in them, in their hearts. And he's walking them through these scriptures. Because really, we know that the primary purpose of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, are to point us towards Christ. That they reveal many things. They reveal many things about the world, many things about God. But ultimately, the main thrust of all of Scripture is pointing us towards Christ, our Savior. And I find it, we find it interesting that Jesus' aunt and uncle don't recognize him. But I think that God did this very purposefully. Because it would have been easy for Jesus to just appear in all of his glory and for them to believe. But Jesus, he's doing things differently here. He's convincing them through the scripture what the truth is. And it is only after they have been convinced by the scripture that then Jesus appears to them. And so it says that they invite Jesus to stay with them, and he does. I like that, you know, the note that Jesus, you know, he pretends that he's going to keep on going, even though he knows that they're going to invite him. I think it's fun. But Jesus, he's kind of like, you know, messing with them a little bit, and good-natured, a lot of fun. But he sits down and eats with them, and it's not until he breaks the bread that he is revealed to them. And think about that for a moment, the significance of the breaking of bread. You know, within a Christian context, what does that mean? I mean, we should be drawn to the Lord's Supper when we break bread. That night when Jesus broke the bread amongst his disciples, says, "This is my body." Really, in that simple action of breaking that bread, it's the summary of what Jesus shared with them on the road to Emmaus, that he was going to be broken, but that he would be the one who saves us. So Jesus reveals himself to the disciples and then just disappears. It's like poof, you know, you know, he goes from being like this complete stranger, unrecognizable. You know, he gives them, you know, this amazing sermon. And then he breaks bread, and they magically are like, "Oh, hey, nephew." You know, and oh, goodbye. But in their excitement, it says they immediately get up and they go to the other disciples in Jerusalem. They invited Jesus to stay with them because it was already late. You know, and so, but in their excitement, they risk traveling at night, which is not a safe thing to do, because they're so excited to tell all of the other disciples. I mean, this is 7-8 miles that, I mean, they're going late at night. It's not like driving around the corner. This is hours of investment to go and tell the disciples about these things. We can almost, you know, feel their excitement. And so we ask ourselves the question, well, what does this mean for us? It's a fun story. It's fun to see how Jesus is kind of, drawing his aunt and uncle into this deeper knowledge of who he is. But what does it mean for us? Well, first of all, Christ knows exactly where we are, whether we are on the road to Emmaus or wherever else, wherever our hearts might be, wherever we're physically at, where our emotions might be at. Jesus knows where we are, and he meets us there. He knows how to find us. And like Cleopas and the disciples and so many who have come before us, we long for the presence of Jesus in our lives. We long for that moment where he breaks the bread and we recognize him and we see the miraculous. But what Jesus is teaching us through this is that he has revealed just as powerfully through his word. And that if we want to get a glimpse of Jesus, if we want to have a relationship with him, if we want to know the truth, then we dive into scripture. That Cleopas and Mary were convinced through scripture. And so if you have doubts right now, if you're doubting whether or not God is going to live up to what he said he's going to live up to, if you're wondering what his will is, if you're wondering about some sickness, if you're wondering about whatever it might be, if you have anger or fear or anxiety, search the scriptures. We need to pray regularly for Christ to illuminate himself as we read through Scripture. So if we proclaim that all of Scripture is pointing us towards Jesus, it's a really simple question to ask ourselves when we read Scripture, is how is this pointing us to Jesus? And then what am I supposed to do with that in my life now? And so if we trust that through Scripture that Christ is going to reveal himself, and really, I am sure for many of you that that has happened more than once, where Christ has revealed himself through Scripture, where you've had those aha moments, where all of a sudden something in the Word of God makes sense, and where it is very applicable to your life right there in that moment. If you haven't had one of those moments, begin praying for him now and read your Bible more, because I guarantee that it will speak to you because it is the living Word of God. But then when it does, our response should be the same as Uncle Cleopas and Aunt Mary, that when Christ is revealed to us, we need to get up out of our seats and go and tell people about it. That we don't wait until the timing is convenient or when it fits into our schedule. We get up and we go. And we tell somebody the good news. And maybe that's, simply shaking your spouse or sharing with your spouse. Maybe it's sharing with your kids. Maybe it's sharing with your neighbors. Or maybe it's something bigger where you share with somebody that you don't even know how amazing that God is moving and working in your life. Christ knows where you are. He knows where you are right now in this moment. And I don't just mean that you're sitting here in this church or at home. But he knows where your heart is. He knows what your longings are, what your hurts are. He knows exactly where you are. He doesn't have to try very hard to find you because he knows where you are. He will come to you and he will respond, and he has already spoken to you. We simply need to open up the words of Scripture and look for his response. We trust and we pray that as we do, that he will be revealed to us through his word. And as he is, we share that joy with the people around us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you, the infinite God, the Alpha and Omega, the God who holds all of creation in the palm of his hands, has revealed yourself in your Scripture. That you are mindful of us. We are so richly blessed. And so, Heavenly Father, as you reveal yourself to us, we pray that you would give us the courage to share that with the people around us. We thank you and we praise you. And it's your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.